Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the afternoon, praise Him when the sun goes down. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank God we can. Thank God He's given us the sense to do it. You know, there's a lot of folks, they go the whole life, never praise the Lord. Never. Think about that. Never praise the Lord. Go the whole life. I know I never did till I got saved. You know, before I got saved, I had my eyes opened up. You know, we did some religious stuff, but I never praised the Lord. But that's all changed now. Praise God forever. That's one of our main purposes in life. To praise Him. To exalt Him. To magnify Him. To lift Him up. You'll find you'll be a whole lot more happier if you do. If you find yourself praising Him more often, lifting Him up, exalting Him, giving Him the praise that He's worthy of, then you'll find yourself a whole lot happier too. Because you'll be fulfilling one of your purposes in life. And it always feels good when you're fulfilling your purpose, when you're in your place. And the first place you need to be in is in the place of praise. What's my place in life? Praise Him. Praise Him. That's a great place to start right there. Praising the Lord. Praising the Lord. Glory be to God. And then as we're faithful, praising the Lord and being in that place, then He can reveal to us everything else He's got for us. See, then He can show us more things. And He can show us more things. But we're not going to see very far if we don't first see that He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy of thanksgiving. He is worthy of praise. Glory to God. He is so awesome. He's so wonderful. He's so amazing. He's overwhelming. Amen. So you think on that long enough, you become overwhelmed. And we need to be overwhelmed with the Lord. You know, the Bible says over in Ephesians chapter 5, a lot of you are familiar with the scripture, but notice in Ephesians chapter 5 what it says. Ephesians 5 and in verse 18, it says, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." And that's not a period there. It's a comma. He's not done. "Be filled with the Spirit," speaking to yourselves or to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Songs. Singing. And making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things. Because how many people know He turns all things for our good. If we'll trust Him, if we'll praise Him. It doesn't matter what kind of bad things come at us. God will turn it all around for our good. He'll turn it all around for our good. If we'll praise Him and thank Him for what He's doing. Lift Him up. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice that's all this singing, praising, and thanking God goes right along with not being drunk with wine, but being filled with the Spirit. Because if you're filled with the Spirit, you'll be like a drunk person. I mean, you can get so filled that you're like you're intoxicated. What does it mean to be intoxicated? Overcome. Overcome. Well, how do you get overcome? How do you get filled with the Spirit? How do you get intoxicated with God? Give Him thanks. Give Him praise. Acknowledge Him for who He is. He's an overwhelming God. He's amazing. He's more impressive than your problems that you've been drunk with. A lot of folks have been staggering around drunk with their cares, worry, so impressed and overwhelmed by the adversities in life. You can get your, I mean, if you can get overwhelmed and amazed at the adversities in life, why can't you do that with God? He's a little bit bigger, don't you think? Just a little bit. See, but most folks, see, they're talking their problems. They're thinking about their problems. They're worried about their problems. And what's that doing? That is draining the life of the Spirit out of them. It's emptying their vessels. It's draining them. It's depleting them of light and strength. It's depleting them of God's presence and power. Well, we don't want to be on the becoming depleted side of things. We want to be being filled. We want to keep being filled with life and light and strength. Well, how do you do it? You give him thanks. You give him praise. You think about what he's done for you. You think about what he's done for you. You know, even in the world today, in the world of Christianity, a lot of folks, they're listening to music and they're more into the music and the song and the feeling of the music. And they're not really getting zeroed in on him. They're not really thinking how awesome and wonderful he is, as we were just now. And it was pretty exciting, right? As we're thinking about how he set us free, how he overcame for us, how he delivered us from darkness and devils, and he rescued us. Man, it just gets exciting as you think about it. Well, let's keep thinking about it. Let's stay excited. Let's just stay excited. Let's just keep praising him and thanking him. Let's not let it end when the song ends. Let's keep it going. Songs are a great kickstart. Songs will get the thankfulness kickstarted. But don't let it stop there. A lot of times the song stops and then we go right back to thinking about ourselves. And that can be depressing. When we think about ourselves, that can be very depressing. So don't think about yourself so much. Think about him, because think about how happy it makes you when you think about him more than yourself. And don't think about Charlie next to you either. Think about Jesus. He's bigger. He's bigger. He's better. He knows how to make every crooked place straight. He can fix anything. He's the great fixer. Come on, somebody. He brought us out of the grave. He got us out of darkness. He took us out of the kingdom of God. How can we whine about anything? If he can get us out of that, he can get us out of anything. See, this is the same problem the children of Israel had, right? I mean, they're whining and complaining, and they just saw the Red Sea split. It's like he just brought you out of Egypt through a Red Sea. What are we worried about? All things are possible with God, and he's a good God. He's a good God, and he's bigger than it all. He's bigger than it all. Say it with me. Say, God, my God is bigger than me. He's bigger than everyone around me. He's bigger than all my problems. He's bigger than it all. He's greater. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God he is. Hallelujah. A big God. Amazing God. Great God. Great I am. He's the great I am. Whatever I have need of, that's who he is. He meets every need. He's the way maker. Hallelujah. He's my deliverer. He's my helper. He's my strength. And he'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He's with me always. Always. Woo! Hallelujah. Now, is that true? Thank God it's true. Thank God it's true. Praise God. To know him, to know that he knows where we're at, what we need, and he's the answer, and he cares. I got good news for you. He cares. See, that was the problem with folks. You see him in the Bible. Martha, Lord, don't you care? The disciples out there in the boat, they thought they were going to sink. And they cried out, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care? See, people questioning his care for them, but no, thank God he cares. I think he's proven himself. He cares, and he'll come through for us every time, all the time. Because he's not just something abstract and unreal and someone or something that we just kind of talk about, but we really don't have tangibly in our life. Our God's a tangible God. He's a real God, and he manifests himself. That's who he is. He's a God who manifests himself. And he wants to manifest himself and demonstrate himself in our lives all the time. All the time. And he has been in people that have led him, people that believe him, those that trust him, put their trust in his word. He's doing it. He's manifesting. He's brought us pretty far already. I mean, if he just stopped now, we could say it's been good. God's done a great deliverance in my life. God has shown himself strong time and time again. God has shown himself powerful. He has intervened in the affairs of life. And he's rescued me. And he's helped me. And he's delivered me. And the better we get at believing him, by believing his word, the more we'll see him in action in our life. Because there's no lack of love on God's end, and there's no lack of power on God's end. But there can be a lack of faith due to a lack of thankfulness on our end. Keep your thanksgiving, and you'll keep your faith strong. Praise God. Why? Because you'll be thinking on him, thanking him for what he's done, what he's doing, and what he said he will do. I believe God's word. How about you? I believe God's word. And God's word is not just letters. It's not just letters, but it's power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. We were talking about last time that the word and the spirit, they are one. They agree together. If you take the spirit away from the word, all you have is a dead letter. A lot of folks have a dead letter. A lot of folks in church today, all they got is a dead letter because they have removed the Holy Spirit from the Word of God. And then there's folks that they have the Holy Ghost and manifestations of the Spirit, but they don't have the Word. And in many of those cases, those folks are out of control. They're out of control. It's like, you know, it's like having a train but no tracks. That's a dangerous thing. Happens like a train is just going along, and it runs out of track, and it don't slow down. It just keep going. Somebody's going to get hurt, right? So dead letters kill, and trains without track, power without the word of God, kills. It destroys also. So you see, we have to have them both, the word and the spirit. The word and the spirit, and when you put the word and the spirit together, you have power. You have power. You have power that works, that saves, that delivers, that rescues, that does what the Bible says. We want to see what the Bible says working in our life. As we're sitting here today hearing the word of God, we're wanting the power to be activated. The power of the word to be activated. We don't want to just hear the word and settle for letters, for teachings. We want the power. We want to mix the spirit in there and have the power of God actually bringing to pass in our lives the things we're hearing. So we're here for a transformation. We're here for a manifestation and a demonstration of the power of God in and through our lives. That's what we're here for. For things to change, things to happen. We're not just hearing, but things are happening. Amen. Thank God. Thank God that God is a God of power. We looked at Romans chapter 1, verse 16, where it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes." Not just to everyone. Not just to everyone. So notice, it's the power, the gospel, the word of God is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. It didn't just say just for everyone. See, we have to understand that. There's a lot of folks that they will never experience the power of the Word of God. Even though they've heard it, although they've been around it, they won't experience the power of God. Because for those who believe, not just believe the letter of the word. Yes, I believe the Bible. Yes, you can believe the Bible intellectually. But he's talking about believing in the power of the Word of God. That it's living and powerful. And it does everything it says. It does everything it says. As it's saying it. As it's saying it. See, you got to believe that. The word's going forth. It's power. Power's going forth right now. So you're not just hearing word. Power's going forth. You got to believe that. It's not for everyone, but it's for everyone who believes. It's the power of God to salvation. Now, a lot of folks, when they think of salvation, they just think of going to heaven. Thank God the power of God came and we were born again. And we've been given eternal life. And we can know that when we die, we're going to heaven. That's not all it's saying here. If you look at the Greek word here for salvation, it's the word sozo. And it literally means deliverance, healing, healing, preservation, safety or protection. So he says, the gospel of Christ, it is the power of God to deliverance. Deliverance. Deliverance is not a problem for us. We don't have to deliver ourselves. We don't have to work on delivering ourselves. The power of the gospel will deliver us. Deliver us from what? Deliver us from whatever you need to be delivered from. If you need some deliverance, God's word will deliver you. It's healing. It's healing. Well, God doesn't heal anymore. The gospel of Christ, it is the power of God to healing. That's what it is. So you'd have to just throw away the gospel if you want to throw away healing. He's a healing God. He's a deliverer. He's healing, preservation, preserve your life, safety, protection. God's word protects our life. See, we're not just learning principles on how to protect ourselves. We are literally receiving the power of God's protection in our life. Receive it today. I got protection all around me. Devil can't touch this. No evil's going to befall me. No plague is coming near my dwelling. That's the word of God. That's the power of God in my life. The word says it. That means it is so. I literally, literally have it. I have divine protection in my life. But yeah, it's not for everybody. It's for everyone who believes what? So you can't judge what God is doing and what he's not doing by looking at other people's lives. Because people are believing one day and they're not believing the next day. People's faith is up and down and all around and misplaced many times. So a lot of times folks are not in faith. They're not believing. They've been talking too much about their problems. They've been talking about the cares of life. They haven't been talking about God's promises. If we'll focus on his promises, then we'll stay in faith. And the power of God will bring to pass the things that we're believing in our life. But if we focus on the problems, then we're not going to be in faith. We're going to be in doubt. We're going to be in unbelief. We're going to be in fear. And we're going to go without. We're going to go without the things that God has promised. We're going to short-circuit the power of God. Doubt short-circuits the power of God from flowing in our life. So you got to get the doubt out. Doubt is very dangerous. You got to take doubt seriously. I said you got to take it very seriously. If you recognize doubt in your life, you got to deal with it. I didn't say deal with it in somebody else's life. Deal with it in your own life. Right? You got to start with yourself. Make sure you got it right first. For sure. How do you know you're in faith? Well, you've got peace, right? You're in rest. You're not anxious. You're not pushy. You're not forcing things on other people. Faith doesn't force anything on anybody. And people know God's not forcing anybody to do anything at any time. God's not in the forcing business. So if you're in the forcing business, then you're not in the God business. Now, the devil, he's always trying to force his agenda on people. But that's not God. God's not trying to force people. And so God's a God of peace, and we need to be over in his peace. And if you're in faith, you're in peace. You're in rest. And you're not going to be pushy, pushy, pushy. So are you resting? Make sure you're resting. Make sure you're trusting. Trusting in God that he is your protection. He's got you covered. We're not going to let any doubt in. You understand? That's how the devil defeats people. People talk about the devil, the devil, the devil. Forget about the devil. It's doubt, doubt, doubt. It's the doubt that the devil sows into our life that causes us to do without the power of God in our life and opens us up to problems. It's the doubt. If we'll just deal with the doubt, the devil's out. Because he can't do nothing if you don't doubt. Devil can't do anything if you don't doubt. His hands are tied. How many like to bind the devil? We bind you, Satan. Just don't doubt. Don't doubt God, and he is locked out. That's how you keep him out. Can you say amen? Thank God for salvation. Thank God we got salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We got healing. We got deliverance. Deliverance, literally, it means deliverance from every evil thing. If it's an evil thing, you got deliverance from it. Praise God. You need to be thanking God all the time for that. Don't just wait for a problem. A problem shows up, you start going, oh God, thank you. There's salvation. You should have been thanking him already. I don't think there's a day that goes by that I don't thank him for my healing, that I don't thank him for delivering me, that I don't thank him for protecting me. I mean, I'm thanking him all the time. I'm not feeling any sickness, no symptoms, and I'm thanking him that I'm healed. Thank you, Jesus, I'm healed. Get up in the morning. Thank you, Lord, everything's working. That's what I was telling him this morning. Thank you, Lord, everything's working good. Praise God, hallelujah. See, I'm conscious of it all the time. You got to keep yourself conscious of it all the time. You can't just wait for a crisis to come and then start. Okay, thank you for healing me. It's got to come out of your heart. It's got to come out of faith. It's got to come out of a place of believing. And so therefore, stay in that place. Just live in that place. Live in the place of faith. Live in the place of believing. How do I do that? Thanking and praising him for who he is, for the word of God. Can you say amen? Praise God. Then 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5 says, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. In other words, they believed it. They came believing in the power of the gospel. They were assured of it. They knew what they were saying. They believed it. They were walking in the reality of it. They were convinced of it. And that's how they presented the gospel to those at Thessalonica. He said, it didn't come to you just word. It didn't just come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit. Let me read this from the Contemporary English Version. It says, when we told you the good news, it was with the power and assurance that comes from the Holy Spirit and not simply with words. Isn't that good? It was the power and assurance that came from the Holy Spirit and not simply with words. Don't just settle for words. Expect the Spirit. Expect the Holy Spirit. Expect the power of God. Don't limit God in your life. Open your heart. open your mind to what the Word says and allow God to come in your life, flood your life with His presence and with His power. That's not for everyone. It's for everyone who believes. Just a reminder. Is your believer on? Make sure it stays on. You got to keep it on. Sometimes people's believers go on for a little while, and then it falls. It's like a switch. You push it up, and you take your hand off it. Just automatically goes off. You know, and we have an example of that with Peter, right? You got the disciple Peter, and he sees Jesus out there walking on the water, and he says, "Lord, if that's you out there walking on the water, bid me to come." Jesus said, "Come," and so he climbed out of the boat. Man, he's in faith. He's walking on the water. Praise God. He's walking on the water, you know, and he's walking out there to Jesus, and all of a sudden, something gets his attention. A wind blows, and a wave kicks up, and he looks, and he gets his eyes on the wave and the wind, and he starts thinking about these things, and suddenly, he begins to sink. He begins to sink right there in the presence of Jesus. Right there with Jesus standing in front of him out there on the water. He's on the water. He's in faith. He's walking on the water. And then next thing you know, he gets his eyes off Jesus, starts thinking about other things, and all the cares of life start flooding in to his soul, and he begins to slip out of faith. And what happens? He immediately begins to lose the power of God's protection to cause him to walk on above the circumstances of life. He immediately began to lose the power of God. Now, had he drowned, people would have said, "Well, I just don't understand that." He was a God-fearing man. He lived by faith. He was a man of faith. Peter was a man of faith. I saw him walk on the water. I saw him walk on the water. I know he served God, had a great relationship with Jesus. And yet he died. I don't understand that. Why did that happen? Well, we know exactly why, don't we? Now, thank God he didn't die. Because there was someone out there in faith walking on the water that was able to pull him back up. But had he died, we would know exactly why he died. He doubted. He feared. He got his eyes off Jesus. He feared and he doubted. And the circumstances of life became bigger to him than what God said. Come. He got his eyes off Jesus. And so he disconnected, right? He disconnected from the power of God. That's why we got to keep ourselves in faith by what? Keeping our minds on Him. When the circumstances of life come flooding in, our minds go up to Jesus. Well, what does the Word say about this? What does the Bible say about this? Boy, God's been so good to me. He has delivered me. Thank you, Lord, that you helped me and you've healed me. You've delivered me. You're never going to leave me. You're never going to forsake me. Oh, thank you. You got me this far. You're going to get me all the way. If you can get me this far, you can finish this thing. See that? And that's what we're saying, and that's how we're talking, and that's how we're thinking as we're just walking along, as we just continue on in faith. But a lot of folks, you know, again, they start going back to, they default back to, look at the problems. Look at the bills. Look at these people. Look at this. Look at this. I don't understand. Why this? Why that? Well, if you don't know why about something, read your Bible. Well, I don't know why I don't have time to read my Bible. Well, you got to make time. Spend time with Him. Seek Him. Draw near to Him. And that's going to keep you thinking right. That's going to keep you living in faith and thus living in the power. Glory be to God, the supernatural wonder working power of God. Can you say amen? So keep the switch on, because you can be in faith in one moment and then you're not in the next. See, the switch is really loose. Yeah, I think you push it up and it just drops back down again. Yeah, somebody's got to get in there with a screwdriver. Really drive this thing in. Tighten something up. Somebody needs to get something tightened up. And then we just stay up. Just stay in faith. Keeping our minds on Him. Keeping those positive thoughts flowing, right? Guard the mind. I just did a whole series on the mind on Wednesday evening. Go back and listen to it again. You know, so important. Keeping our mind, our imaginations, in the right place. The enemy comes in, and we can't just let him come in and bring all kinds of negative thoughts and doubt into our minds, and we just let it just kick around up there. Just spins around up there. We're not going to put up with that. Right? We resist that, and we cast those things down by lifting up the Word of God. Lift up the Word, lift up the truth, lift up Jesus, give Him praise, give Him thanks, talk of Him, talk of what He says, and those things get cast down. Those things come down. And when those things come down, they can't hurt you. Those things can't affect you because you're up here in faith, in the power of God, in the protection of God. Great place to live. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, that's sozo, being healed, being delivered. See, the Bible says, I believe it's over in Thessalonica, it says that the Lord has delivered us from so great a death. And He does deliver us, and He will yet deliver us. See, it's an ongoing thing. He's working in our life continuously. He has delivered us, He's delivering us, He will deliver us by showing us His faithfulness, by keeping us over here in the place of faith. Keep us over believing Him, and His Spirit, His power is working all the time, working all the time, delivering, protecting us, healing us, guiding us, preserving us. The power's working. The power's working. This is the gospel. Foolishness, foolishness. You know, the more I talk about the power of God to some Christians, the more foolish they think you are. And then the power of God gets to flowing, you know, and people actually start getting healed, and people start getting delivered. Oh, they think it's the foolish, most foolish thing in the world. Oh, it's just emotion. No, their body is actually better. No, they're actually healed. Oh, these people are fanatics. These people are crazy. They think it's foolishness. Why? Because they don't believe. They're perishing? Is that what it said? Let me look at that again. For the message of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing. Well, that would be a lot of Christians. I'm not picking on anybody, but that would be a lot of Christians because they don't see the power. They actually mock it. They ridicule those that yield to the power of the Spirit of God. They think it's foolish. And sometimes God's power can appear foolish. It can appear very foolish to the unbeliever. In fact, when the power of God came on the day of Pentecost, when the disciples were all together in one accord in that upper room, right after Jesus had ascended to the Father, after He had completed what He came to do, the Holy Spirit came in that place. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says there was a whole lot of folks that were mocking and saying, well, they're drunk. They're drunk on wine. They're drunk on wine. Now, 3,000 people believed and got saved. But then there was, we don't know how many, that just mocked and ridiculed and thought it was ridiculous and they were foolish. But no, they were just yielding to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes yielding to the Holy Spirit can appear very foolish. It can. Well, can a drunk person look foolish? Huh? No, if a person gets drunk, right, they're drinking, they can do some pretty stupid things. People can do some pretty stupid things. And usually it's very destructive. When people get drunk on alcohol, they do drugs or something like that, you know, they have this high, they feel great, they feel indestructible, they love that rush. And then usually they end up doing things that are self-destructive. They end up destroying their lives in different areas, different ways. They destroy their lives. But then there's this being filled with the Spirit of God, which is intoxicating and makes you feel indestructible, unafraid of anything, right? Just lifts you up above the circumstances of life, causes you to feel powerful because you actually are. You're filled with the power of God in your life, and you might act a little crazy, just like a drunk person. Drunk person gets out there and they'll say things they normally would not say. In fact, somebody was just telling me that I won't say too specific, but a family member. There was a family member, and the family member got themselves drunk pretty good, and man, they just laid into them. Man, no. And this drunk person just started rebuking and criticizing and just cutting down this guy and just expressing everything that was in her heart. And then when she sobered up, I can't believe I said that. Well, we found out what you were thinking, because you said it all when you were unhindered by what other people think about you. That's one of the characteristics of a drunk person. You don't care what anybody thinks about you, right? Man, it's also freedom. But when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we don't cut into people. Bless God, we love people. And we bless people. And we are more of a blessing. The more filled with the Holy Spirit we are, the more intoxicated with Him we are, the more of a blessing we are. We're releasing that blessing to other people's life. There's no negative side effects, except when it comes to those who don't believe. You will get some negative responses from them. They will think you're foolish. They will think you're weird. They'll think you're strange. We got to understand that. That comes with the territory. We're not here to make everybody happy, just those who believe. That's all we're looking for. See, that's all Jesus was looking for. When Jesus was preaching, he was just looking around for those who believed. He was always looking for faith from people. That's what he was looking for. In fact, even with Pontius Pilate, the governor of Rome, who was the one behind Jesus being crucified, the Bible says over in John 18, verse 33, it says, then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself about this? Or did others tell you this concerning me? See, Jesus is looking. Are you believing that? Do you believe I'm the king of the Jews? See, Jesus is looking for faith even in Pilate. Because those are the only people he can help. They're the only ones he can help. And unfortunately, Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? He didn't believe. But even Pilate could have believed. He could have believed. So Jesus was looking. He was looking. He who has ears to hear, he would say many times, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. See? Because a believer, a real believer, real faith isn't just connecting with the letter. Real faith is connecting with the Spirit. Let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Remember, Jesus in his own hometown, he couldn't do any mighty works there. He couldn't do much there. Why? Because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. He couldn't do much in his own hometown. He was looking for faith, but many of them did not believe. So we have to make sure that we're believing what the Spirit is saying. They didn't believe Jesus because they, what did they say? This is the carpenter. This is the carpenter's son, excuse me. This is the carpenter's son. His mother's Mary's right here. His brother's over here. You know, this, who does he think he is? So they didn't hear what the Spirit was saying. They heard what the carpenter's son was saying. See, that's not faith. Faith hears from God. Faith connects with God, not just with letters. It connects with God. It hears what God's saying. It senses what the Spirit of God's doing and hooks up with the Holy Ghost. Hooks up, gets in the flow of the Holy Spirit, man. And receives the power of the Holy Spirit. A lot of folks are just hearing letters many times, and so there's no power. Remember, it's word plus spirit equals power. Got to have the word and the spirit to equal power. Okay, you're paying attention to the word this morning. That's good, but that's not all of it. Be aware of what the Spirit is saying, what the Spirit is doing. Be aware. If you feel conviction about something, he's dealing with you about something. He's illuminating things to you. There should be things going off on the inside of us. We're looking to hear from him through the word that we're hearing. Coming into a closer experience with him, connecting with the very power and life of God. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. That's us. It is the power of God. Everybody say, this is the power of God. What I'm hearing today is the power of God. I believe that. Therefore, I'm unashamed to speak that. God's word, this word today, is the power of God in my life. Hallelujah. Praise God. The power's working. The power's working. See, we need to become conscious of that. Conscious of the power of God working in our life. As we saw over in Mark chapter 16, in verse 20, right after Jesus gave the Great Commission to his disciples, it says in verse 20, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. He had listed the signs in the previous verses, not limited to those signs. But notice, the Lord is working with them through signs of people being delivered, people being healed, people being set free. The Lord was working with them. They weren't just doing it. Now remember, now the Lord, he's gone to heaven. Jesus is risen from the dead. He's given the Great Commission. They're going out. You don't see the Lord, but yet the Lord's with them working. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's working with the word. And he's working with those who work the word. When you believe the word, the Lord's working with you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I believe it is, says that the Lord is the Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's liberty. People are getting set free where the Spirit of the Lord is. Chapter 3, 2 Corinthians 3:17. 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit. The Lord working with them as they were what? What were they doing? They went out, preached. What are they preaching? They're preaching the gospel. They're preaching the word of God. And what? The Lord, who is the Spirit, is working with them. See it? The Spirit and the word together. I'm not just going to go out and give the word and rely upon my personality. Like one rebellious lady said, she said, she made mention of my charisma. I said, lady, it ain't charisma. It's Christ. The power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And he'll bring a lot of personality out of you. But it's not about personalities. It's the power of the Spirit. And there's a lot of folks, they're very intense, and they're preaching the gospel. But the Spirit, he ain't allowed in there. Because he's foolishness. He's foolishness to them. So we got to let the Holy Spirit come in and not mind being fools for Christ. That's what the apostles referred to themselves as, fools for Christ. Be a fool for Christ. Thank God we could be dignified and we could be fools. We can go from dignified to what appears to be foolish, but it's not really foolish. Just like that. If we yield to the Spirit of God, if we flow with him. If it's about us, then we're always going to want to try to keep ourselves dignified. But there's a time to become like little children, to climb on the chairs, crawl under the chairs, run around the room, shout and praise him like you're out of your mind, because you are. You're out of yourself. You don't care what people think. You're like a drunk person. See? That's how David was. King David, right? Great example of this. I mean, what a wonderful example, you know, King David was. I mean, that man knew the Holy Spirit. Prophet of God, knew how to flow with the Holy Spirit. God used him in so many mighty ways. He was a very dignified, well-organized king. He was a warrior. He'd go out on the battlefield. And man, I mean, you wouldn't want to be an enemy of David out on the battlefield. Because he never lost a battle. He was amazing. Very strong, very powerful. Very dignified, feared, but yet beloved by the whole nation. The whole nation just loved David. And one day, when the Ark of God, which represented the presence of God, came into the camp, he got so excited about the Lord. He was just so fired up about God that the Bible says he just got out there and he started whirling around, dancing with all his might. Now, his wife did not have much respect for the glory of God, for God's presence. So when she looked outside and saw her husband doing this, she was humiliated. She was so embarrassed. She's like, how can I face these people? My husband, what is he doing? She was so embarrassed. I'm so glad we can't get embarrassed. Right? Drunk, dead people don't get embarrassed. Because we're dead to ourselves and we're full of the Holy Spirit. So we don't get embarrassed. Oh. That's a life of freedom right there. You say, but I really messed up. Yeah. I mean, I really made a fool out of it. I really messed up. Well, that's right. What's God doing about it? Well, he forgave me and he's cleaning it all up. So, what's the problem? You know, you turn to God, it's amazing. He'll turn your mess ups into things that raise you up. And the people that wouldn't normally respect you because of how undignified you acted will be the very ones that'll look up to you and admire you. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing how God does that. You know? And he'll do that. But David's wife, she was embarrassed. She looked at him when he came home. He's coming home. He's just coming home from church. He's so happy. He's just full of the Holy Ghost. And he comes walking in the house and she goes, how dignified was the king today? And covering himself like one of these base fellows do. And he said, it was before the Lord. It was before him. Amen. You need to know how to let go in God's presence. You need to know how to take hold and let go. Amen. Take hold of him and let go. Let go of yourself. Oh, I like that. Take hold of him and let go of him. See, a lot of folks try to take hold of him, but hang on to themselves. Hang on to their image. Hang on to them. And hang on to him. That's hard. It's gonna be hard. If you keep hanging on to this, eventually you're going to have to let go of him. Because it's just too heavy. You got to let go of that. Then you can just hang on with him. I hope you're following this. Praise God forever. He confirms his word. He's working with us. He's working with the word. When you work the word, God will work with you. The Lord, who is the Spirit, will be working with you as you work the word of God. Can you say amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's go there. And in verse 4. The Apostle Paul, by the Spirit, said, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. I wasn't trying to persuade you with my words, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. See, we don't need to be out trying to convince people of things. We need to have confidence in the Spirit of God to convict people of things. See? You let the Word and the Spirit do the work. You don't have to convince people. That's a big problem. People are out there trying to convince people to believe. Convince them. Trying to convince them. Stop trying to convince them. Speak the Word and have confidence that the Spirit will convict them. Because convincing is only in the mind. Conviction is of the heart. Let's not just settle for trying to convince them in their heads. So Paul says, when I was with you there in Corinth, I didn't come with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men or just in profound teaching, but in the power of God. Our faith, after we hear the word, should be in the power of God. That God does manifest himself. God does demonstrate what he says. He's a God who does what he says. And we got faith in that power. We're not just having faith in words and teaching so that we can repeat something without any power. He says, I was with you in demonstration of the Spirit. Notice that. He's talking about preaching, isn't he? My speech and my preaching. So he's talking about the gospel. He's talking about the word of God. He said, I was with you, but it wasn't just in word, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That word demonstration means a making manifest, showing forth, a proof by the Spirit and power of God. God proves himself. I remember I was on an airplane one time. I sat next to a Muslim fella, and we were talking, and he seemed like a very religious man, like a good man, you know, seemed to live a nice, clean life, you know, just from some of the things he was saying. So we were talking for a little while. I said, yeah, but I said, you have to understand, Jesus is alive, and we have power to prove it. See, the Bible that we preach is proven by the power of the Holy Spirit. I began to explain to them. People can get healed. People can get delivered. You can lay hands on people. Pray for them. They feel the presence of God. Touch their life. I remember one time I was in Mexico. And I was on a missions trip. A youth missions trip. And I used to be a youth pastor out there in Oklahoma. And we went into a certain village. And there was this lady in there. Very elderly lady. And just living in just terrible poverty. And I was ministering the gospel to her, and she just through a translator, she said, well, I have no reason to believe this. I was talking about believing in Jesus. She said, he's never done anything for me. So, you know, I had to go. I couldn't stay, and I'd ministered to her for a while. I needed to leave. So I said, well, just ask her if I could lay my hands on her and bless her. So then her response to the interpreter was, well, I don't see what that's going to do, but if he wants to, he can. So I just laid my hands on her. I said, oh, God, please. Because I'm figuring this lady's going to die. She's about to go straight to hell. I said, Lord, just touch her. Help her to see that you're real. Help her to see you're real. And I was just praying over her for a little bit. And suddenly she started going like this. So I said, ask her what's happening. And she said, when he put his hands on me, something got all over me. I said, tell her that's Jesus touching her on the inside because he wants to come and live on the inside of her heart. She told her and she gave her life to Jesus. And she got so saved in that moment. She got so saved in that moment that as we were leaving, she came with us and there was all these children out playing. She said, listen to them. They talk about Jesus. And so I took a little extra time, started ministering to the kids. Praise God. See, God is a God who manifests himself. He's a God who touches and can become tangible. And you never want to mock that. If somebody's experiencing the power of God, you never want to sit there as a mocker. You never want to sit there like the Acts chapter 2 people that sit there and go, I think they're just falling down. I think that's just them. Well, it is them. But it's God on them. And when God gets on a person, you know, different people act differently. They'll respond differently. So let people just yield and flow with the Holy Spirit and get happy and get healed and get delivered, right? Just let the Spirit of God move. Let's not be the mockers. Let's not be the doubters. If you're going to miss it, err on the positive side, the possibility side, the believing side. Look and say, man, if they're getting what it looks like they're getting stuff. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God, because I know you're a God who touches and manifests and blesses and heals and delivers and absolutely overwhelms and intoxicates people. That's who my God is. So yeah. What could happen? Anything could happen. As long as it's good. As long as it's good. If it's good, it could be God. Because we know it's not the devil. It's God at work. But he's in the demonstrating business. And when Paul came and preached, he said, that's how I was with you in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And it wasn't just at Corinth, but this is what he did all the time. Acts chapter 17, verse 2. It says, then Paul, as his custom was. In other words, as was his routine, as was his habit, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying, this Jesus, whom I preach to you and demonstrate to you, is the Christ. See, he went in explaining it, but he went in there demonstrating it. He went in there explaining it and demonstrating the power of the Holy Spirit. And of course, it says this was his custom. Well, if you go back to Luke, the fourth chapter, Jesus, when he came to his own hometown, Luke chapter 4, this is right after he's been anointed with the Holy Spirit. And it says in verse 16, so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Now, he's been ministering. He's been ministering in other places now. You understand? People getting healed and delivered. All kinds of great things have been happening. And it says, he came to Nazareth where he was brought up, and as his custom was, as was his routine, this is what he did. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found in the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord. Spirit of the Lord is upon us this morning, folks. Praise God. Why don't you just acknowledge him right now? Say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me. Woo, hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm anointed. I got the Spirit of God on me. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. To preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to heal. Heal. So we're preaching, and what's happening when we're preaching? People are getting healed. Heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance. Sounds like sozo to me. Preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So Jesus, this was his custom, to preach about the power of God and then to do it. And we know, even though it's not here in Luke's account, we see it over in Mark chapter 6. That's exactly what he did. Even though they rejected him, because they did not believe, those in his hometown, the Bible says in Mark 6:5, now he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. So even though, as you read here in Luke 4, they rejected him, they tried to kill him. They tried to throw him off a cliff. Even though they rejected him like that, Jesus still laid his hands on a few sick people, even in the midst of that hostile environment. He laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. But he couldn't do anything mighty there because of the unbelief. Jesus couldn't do it. Jesus couldn't do it because of the unbelief. Unbelief's a devil. Are you hearing me? We need to reject it. We need to resist it. We need to make sure we keep that doubt out. And if you keep the doubt out, the devil's done. Say, I'm not going to doubt God. I'm going to believe the Bible. I believe the gospel. Not just the teaching, but the Spirit. The power of the Word of God that's working in my life right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on, stand on your feet. Let's thank him right now for the power of the Holy Spirit.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.